Okay, so just a quick announcement that don't forget about the test next Wednesday. So you'll be in class at 10:30 a.m. and that will be April 1st. So I will put up more information on the website regarding test number two. And also I will put up the test material as well so that everybody knows what is going to be on for the second test. So right now we're going to extend the term until the second week of April. So essentially the official last date for this term, for this course will be April 14th. I think along the way there may be one or two review classes for the final exams. So if time permits, I think there will be one review class for the second test as well. So that review class most likely will be this Friday. And on Wednesday, most likely, I will go back to Great Manual Chapter 8. So if we go to the course website and under topics, we have so far completed topic A to D. So last week, I have mentioned about Chapter 10 in the textbook, which is about the CPU management. So now we are in topic E. So if you look at the Great Manual, we have start how to do some database management using Microsoft Access. As far as the textbook concerned, we have only one particular section in the textbook that corresponding to this chapter, to this topic. So that will be section 12.3, which is database management systems. So in the textbook, there's only one small section. We find that the material is very much limited. So we try to include a little bit more details in the lecture slides. So when you study this topic for the final exam, so try to follow what I'm going to put in the lecture slides. Okay, so after topic E, we only have one more topic left, which is computer networks. So we only have one Great Manual exercise for that topic. So in that topic, you guys will be responsible to build a HTML website. Okay, so like I said, today we go back to the textbook materials, and so even though I put week 11 here, I just try to follow the schedule that we have since the beginning of the term. So we will eventually go to week 13 or week 14 eventually, so don't be surprised if you see those numbers. Okay, so in database management systems, there are a few basic terminologies we have to go through. So when we define a database, essentially is a structured set or an organized set of data. Like in any system, there must be a management system. So in a database, there is a database management systems. Essentially, it's a combination of software and the data in the database, which includes the physical database. And when we say the physical database, essentially is the collection of all the files of the data in your hard disk in the computer. We have to somehow have some kind of a software. So we have the database engine, and essentially it's the software that allows the user to interact with the database, and it allows the user to access or modify the data in the data content in the database. And the last thing here is the database schema. So the term schema is just a fancy word for blueprint. Essentially, it means the specification for the logical view or the structure of the data in the database. So we will look at a few examples of what these terms exactly mean in the actual database system. So when we talk about the database, last lecture we have start working on Chapter 7, which is in the Great Manual, which is the beginning or the introduction of using Microsoft Access. And from that exercise, if you guys have already started doing that, you will know that inside the database you have a few specific functions that you can do. So of course the database or the software will allow you to change the structure or the content of the data. And of course, you can add new data or delete the original data or modify any actual data in the database. The last thing here is the query. Query, if we refer back to Chapter 7 in the Great Manual again, so we have we have the opportunity to create a query that only extract a specific data from the original database. So for example, if I go back to chapter 7 of the GLADE manual, the query allows you to create a formula or a equation that specialized to calculate certain attributes inside the database. So this is just a general diagram to show the relationship of all those elements inside a database system. So we have the database files, which is sitting in the hard disk inside the computer. So that's why we have this small shape of this icon that represents the actual hard disk inside the computer. We have a collection of files that contain all the content of the data. And then we have the database engine software that communicate with the database files. The software also provides the user interface that allows the user to interact with the database system. And of course, we still have the schema, which provides the logical structure of the database. And the schema will have to somehow communicate with the database software so that the software knows how the data is actually structured inside the database. So if we go back to another example or another way to express this diagram is if I go back to the operating system in chapter 10, remember we can draw some kind of a scheme diagram where hardware sits in the center. So in the outer surface of the hardware is where the layer that communicates with the operating system. So this is just the operating system the general diagram. So like I said, we have the center, which is the hardware, and the operating system is communicating through the outer surface of the hardware. And outside the operating system, if you remember from chapter 10, that will be the application software. So in that case, that will be Microsoft Excel, Access, or Microsoft Word. Okay, so the last layer essentially is the user. So the user only interacts with the application software. And of course, the application software has some kind of specialized programming language that communicates through the operating system and tells what the hardware actually does for that particular command that the user enter. Now, if we go back to this diagram here, the database management system essentially is a very specialized example of an operating system. So we can somehow draw a similar diagram similar to the general operating system in a computer. So now inside the center now is the database. And of course, when we communicate through the database, we have the database management system. So I put database management. The outer layer of the database management now is communicating with the application. So the application in this case, for example, we can have employee payroll system, or you can have a system that consists of all the student records. So those are some kinds of application when we refer to a database. So I put, for example, payroll. And again, outside the application, we have the users that are communicating through the application in this system diagram here. So they are more or less have very similar structures. So this is just another view of how to see how each of these elements are connecting inside a database. So a schema, like I said, essentially is a fancy name for a blueprint. And what we refer to a schema is the logical structure of the data inside the database. Inside the database system, we can also subdivide the actual structure of the database. And in some cases, we can have a sub-schema that describes part of the description or part of the database that is particularly interest to some users. So we don't have to have a create a very huge database that organize all kind of data. We can extract certain fields or columns of the data to create a subset of the database. And in that case, we will have to create a sub-schema to represent that particular database. So if we go back to this diagram here, this is what we call the layered approach, because we have 1, 2, 3, 4 layers. And what I'm trying to emphasize here is that the user only interacting with the applications layer. So what's happening inside the actual core part or the database, the user do not want to know. And so the layered approach essentially hides all the complexity of the database implementation. And what the user see actually is essentially is just the application, or maybe in this example here is the payroll, or the user only interacting with the user interface of the software. So some advantages with respect to this approach is that it simplifies the design process, and it allows better control for the database from the user point of view, because all they need to know is how to use the application of that database. And the applications can be written in terms of a simple and more conceptual views of the data, or in other words, it's essentially the database model. So if we look at the database model, a more formal term is that it refers to the conceptual view of how to organize or manipulate the data. And of course, there are several models that describe the database, but one of the most popular type and the only type that is actually mentioned in the textbook is what we call the relational model. And the exercises that we do in Glade Manual from the Microsoft Access essentially is an example of using the relational model to describe the database. So inside the relational database management system, the data items and the relationships, they are more or less organized in rectangular tables. So again, if you go back to chapter 7 of the Glade Manual in terms of exercise number 2, when we look at the first table, which shows the a particular database, that example is organized in rectangular tables. And when we first open the table or use this table, it's more or less very similar to the spreadsheets in Microsoft Excel. So these tables, they consist of some essential information, which I'm referring to the number of rows or columns inside the table. So there's some special terms when we refer to the rows or columns or the tables when we refer to a particular database. So each table is what we call a relation, and the rows are actually they refer to the records inside the tables, or we have another term that's called the tuples that represent the rows. And in terms of the columns, each column represents each attribute inside the database. Of course, the column the field also refers to the attributes of the of each record as well. So we'll take a look on a few examples of what those terms mean inside the database. So this is an example of a movie rental business. So what we have here is this is a table or the relation. And we have 4 attributes. We have movie ID, title, genre, and rating. So we have 10 rows, or we have 10 records, and we have 4 attributes in this particular relation. So remember the general diagram that I referred to, we have a special element that's called a schema. So one way to express the schema for this particular database is shown here. So what we have here essentially is a single line statement. So first of all, we have to provide the name of the table, in this case, which is movie. And inside the brackets here, we provide all the attributes or the fields for that particular table. So in this case, we have four attributes: movie ID, title, genre, and rating. Now, if we go back to this table here now, the leftmost column here, which is a movie ID, another term that describes that particular field is the key field. When we say this is the key field, that means each element in each row is a unique number. So again, if you go back to the exercise 2 in chapter 7 in the Glade menu, we have the ID that represents each individual inside the database. Now, if you look at the title, the rest of these of three attributes here, in terms of the actual content for each row here, the actual content, it can be repeated. Now, the only thing that cannot be repeated is the ID, which is the key field inside the database. So inside the, so we would like to create another table, which is called a customer, essentially because this is more or less for a movie store business database. So we would like to have a consumer table that provide the information for the customers. So similar to the movie table, we have the customer ID, and then we have three other attributes, which is the name, address, and the credit card number. So the customer ID is similar to the movie ID, which is also the key field inside this customer table. So if you look at the schema for this database table here, we can use the similar structure that we created for the movie schema. So we have to provide the name of the relation, which is customer, and then we have to provide the four attributes inside that particular relation. So we have to include the customer ID, name, address, and the credit card number. So what we have so far is we have two separate relations. So what we can do is we can combine certain fields or attributes from the two tables into a single relation. So in this case here, we have a table or relation that represent a collection of relationship between those two tables. And we have this table here called rents. And the function of this table here is to relate the customers to the movies that they have rented by their respective customer IDs. So if you look at here, we have combined the customer ID, the movie ID, the date of the movie that is rented, and the due date of that particular movie. So we have four attributes again for this table. Now, if we look at this table here, now we do not have the key field in this relation. If you look at the customer ID here, we can have multiple customers that rent a single movie, or we can have a single customer that rents multiple movies. So for example, we can have customer ID 101 that repeated twice in the first column, and same thing for the movie ID 102 that is repeated twice in the second column as well. So this table here is what we call a relationship because it shows the relationship between two independent tables. So again, we can express a schema for this relationship. So we have to supply the name of the table, which is rents, and then we have to provide all the names of the attributes again. Yeah.
In the schema, why is there a colon after the first one and then comma after the other one?
You mean this one? You have a colon here? Yeah, we have a colon here because this is a key field, like I said. Oh yeah, this should be a comma. There should be a comma, yeah. So in terms of the relationships of any relations inside the database, there are three fundamental operations that allow the users to manipulate the tables or the actual data. So we have select. So select is just a formal or term that show how to extract the subset of rows in the original table. Project is the action of extracting the subset of columns of the original table. So the operations with select and project, the outcome will create a table that have smaller tables. So with the operation select, the outcome is you will create a table with fewer rows, so the table will be shorter. So with the operation project, because we're extracting a subset of columns, so the table will be less wide compared to the original table. The last operation, which is join, as the name suggests, it combines two tables together. So by using the join operation, eventually we will create a much larger database or relation. So if we apply each of those three operations into the above example, so in this case here, we want to select, we want to use the select operation to the movie relation. So in this case here, we use the select operation from the movie function where we want to achieve this criteria. So this criteria is more or less similar to the logical condition when you implement the if statement inside the Microsoft Excel. So the criteria here is that in terms of the rating field, the actual content has to be equal to the text string, which is PG. So of course, the physical meaning here means that we want to select all the movies with rating of PGs. So what it does is we go back to the movie tables, and we look at the last column here. And what the database software does is it will look at each row, and it will only look at the last attribute in each record. And you will check if the content inside this attribute here is equal to PG. If it is, it will return that particular record. So for example, in this case, the software will look at the first row, which has movie ID 101, and you will check the rating here. And in this case, we have PG-13, so this is not equal to PG, so you will go to the next one. You look at movie ID with 102, and you look at the last attribute again. So this time we have a rating of PG, so you will return the entire row, and then you will keep doing the same thing for the rest of all the records. So in this case, we know that we will have the second and the fourth row that have a rating of PG. So essentially, the new relation or the new table now will consist of two rows. So like I said, the select operation will extract a subset of rows from the original relation. The second operation, which is the project, is we want to extract a subset of columns from the original relation. So in this case here, we want to extract the movie ID and the title attributes from the new relation that we just created. So we want to go back to this new relation, and we only want to extract the first two columns, essentially. So this is the new, this is the additional relation that we just created, and we want to name this one to PG movies. The last operation is join. So as I have said, is to create a new relation by combining two tables or two relations together. So when we use the join operation, we have to pay attention to the order of the tables. So in this case, we want to join a customer table and rent table. So the original customer table is given here, and the original rent table is given by this diagram here. So again, the order is important, so we have to pay attention to that aspect. So the criteria here is that we want to check if the customer ID under customer is equal to the customer ID under rents. So remember, rents is the relation that we created by extracting certain attributes or columns from the customer table and the movie table. So now what it does is we base on this criteria here, and we look at the first row again. So the first row here, we have a customer ID, which is 101. Now the database software will look at the rent table or relation, and you will check if any of these rows have a customer ID, which is equal to 101. So we look at the first row in rent, And it has a customer ID, which is 101. So you will return all these attributes here. And then you will look at the second row. In this case, it is equal to 103. So you will not return this row here. We go into the third row. This one is 105 again. So we don't want to return any attributes in this record here. So we go into the fourth one. There's no 101. And then we go on to the fifth one here. We have a customer ID of 101. So the software will return all the attributes in this particular record again. And then you will keep repeating until the last entry in the rent relation. Yep. Temp one is just the name of the table. Okay, so it's just the name of the new relation. So now we have completed the first customer. So we will the software will look at the second entry in the customer ID customer table. So which have a value of 102. So again, you will go back to the rents table and start from the beginning again and look for any ID, a customer ID that has attribute which is equal to 102. And in this case, if the software go to the fourth entry here, we will have a record that corresponds to a customer ID with 102. So you will return the entire record in this case. So after this is done, so the software will go back to the customer table and look at the third entry here, which has a value of 103. And again, you will go back to the top of the rents table and go back and look at each entry again and see if any of them is equal to, has a customer ID of 103. So you will repeat again and again until the customer ID reach the end, which is 107 in this case. So like I said, because we're going to create a new table by combining all the attributes together. So at the end, the temp one relation will consist of seven attributes because the customer ID is repeated in both of these two tables here. So when we use the join operation, the repeated attribute won't be repeated twice. So in this case, what the temp one will return, you will return the first four columns in customer, and then you will return the last three columns in rents. So this is the temp one relation. So we have the customer ID, name, address, and credit card number. So these four columns, they come from the customer table. And then we have the movie ID, date rented, and date due. That those three columns, they come from the rents relation. So based on this, you can say this is based on this new relation or new table. What we can do is we can create a subset of columns or subset of rows again. Depends on the need of the users. So in this case, we want to use the project operation again to remove certain attributes that we don't want to display. And in this case, we want to only extract the name, address, and movie ID from the temp one relation. And we want to put that in a new relation that calls rentals. So in this case, we want to extract the second column, the third column, as well as the fifth column in temp one relation. So this is essentially what we have. So we have the name, address, and movie ID. And of course, we can have a multiple names that appear in this table because we can have multiple users that rent different movies. And as the last step here, we would like to use the join operation again. So in this case, we want to join the rentals relation that we just created with the PG movies that we created earlier. So when we use the join operation, again, we have to pay attention to the order of which tables to go first. So in this case, it will be rentals, and then we have PG movies. So if we go back to rentals here, we have name, address, and movie ID. And if we go back to PG movies, we have only two columns, which is the movie ID and the title. So because movie ID is repeated in the PG movies relation and the rentals relation, so in terms of the PG movies relation, what you will return will be only the title attribute. Okay, so if I go back to this slide here, I have the first three columns, name, address, and movie ID come from rentals, and then the last column here, which is the title, it comes from the PG movies relation. So the way that this table is created is using the same logic idea that the software using that we created the temp one relation. So the physical meaning here is that essentially we create a table of customers who have rented all the PG movies. Okay, so this is kind of the example that I want to show. So sorry, the title here is not correct. So I will update the title here. So any questions about that particular example of how to use the select project and join operations? I would say those operations in terms of the name, they are just try to be formal names that specialize for database management. In terms of the logical idea behind those three operations, they are very straightforward. Essentially what it means is we just want to extract certain rows, extract certain columns, and we want to create a new table by combining two tables together. So of course we can apply those three operations to a much more complicated database. So this example, once again, is taken from the textbook. So if you want to have a more detailed information or more detailed explanations, you can go back to chapter 12.3, and essentially the textbook will provide the explanations as well. So when we talk about the database system, we have a specialized programming language that deals with the databases. So the term that we refer to that language is what we call the structured query language, SQL for short. So again, this is a comprehensive database languages for managing the relational databases. So let's look at a few examples of how to use this particular type of language. So we use the select operation in this example. So the first line here gives you the basic structure of how to use that particular statement. So first of all, we have to provide the actual operation. In this case, this is select. Of course, you can use a join, or you can use a project as well. So the second thing here is the attribute list. So we have to somehow tell the software which attribute that we want to extract. So the attribute list here refers to one or two or multiple attributes that you want to extract from the original relation. From is another keyword here, and then we have to supply the actual name of the table or the relation. So we have the table list. Where is another keyword, and then we have to provide the criteria or the logical condition in this case. So here are some examples. So the first example here is we want to select the title. So we want to select the title attribute from the movie relation. And the criteria here is that where the attribute where the attribute has the content equal to the word PG. Okay, so in this case, we're only extracting one piece of information from the relation. Now, of course, we can extract multiple information from the table. So in this case, we want to extract multiple columns. So we want to extract the name and address from the customer table. And we can also, in terms of the criteria here, we can enter a more advanced criteria. So in the third example here, we want to select, you see that we have a star here instead of the actual name. So essentially what it means here is that we want to, well, from the movie table, we want to select any words that have the word action in the attribute. So we look at the genre attribute, and then we look at each piece of data. And any data that has the word consists of action, you will return to, we want to extract that piece of information. So here's just some examples of how to use the select command as far as the actual actions that are happening in the SQL function. Yep. The use of Oh, to start here. Okay.
In the second last example.
Right.
If it's looking for the word action, what is it going to return?
So you will return, for example, you can have, suppose you have a term that says action movie, or you can say action comedy or something like that. So you will return anything that has the word action. Okay? So you will return the entire row. Okay, you will return the end. So if I go back to the this operation, remember select always extract the entire row. So if I go back to the movie example here, so we will look at this column here and we will return any genre that has the word action. So in this case, we look at the first one, it doesn't have the word action. We look at the rest of it until movie ID 107, you will have the word action here, so you will return movie ID of 107 of the entire row here. And then we look at the second last row here, the genre here, we have the word action again, so we will return the entire record also. Now we look at the last one here, essentially, well, the data here is not the same as the above, but it has the word action, so you will return the last row as well. Let me go back to that slide. Yep. Oh, the percentage sign just to represent any keywords that contains action. So it's just the standard way that we define the SQL statement in the database. In most cases, if you go back to, okay, if you compare the third one and the first one here we have the open quotation and the close quotation that contains the text PG. So in this case here, we want to match the exact word PG. Now in this case here, we have two percentage signs here to enclose the word action. So in this case here, we want to return anything that has the data that contains the word action. Not necessarily equal to the word action, but it might be a sentence or a few words that consists of, that one of them contains the word action. So that's the difference between the first example and the third one here. Yeah, so, okay, so in this case here, this is the multiplication sign. So this one here is refers to the actual criteria that we've given here. So we're based on this criteria here, we will return the actual row of that relation, okay? So the last one here is pretty much is similar to the third example, except that we would like to arrange the end result in alphabetical order by the title. So far what we have mentioned is I mentioned how to extract certain piece of data or combined a new table by to form a new table by combining two relations. Of course, within a specific relation, you can add new record or you can update the record or you can delete the record as well. So here are a few examples again. So if you go back to the customer table, if you want to insert a new row, we have to supply the four attributes for that particular record. Again, if you go back to Microsoft Access, the way to do this is you have to go to the last row to add the new record, and in that case, you have to provide all the attributes for that particular record. Update essentially allows you to change any particular piece of information within the record. So you want to change something, so in that case we want to update that particular piece of information. So the last one here is a delete. So delete essentially is you will get rid of the, any columns or rows in the particular relation. So in this case, if you look at this example, we want to delete from the movie table where the ratings is equal to R. So essentially, we will delete any records that has a rating that is equal to a capital R in this case. When we talk about a database design, we would like to show how all the relations or the tables, they are actually related. So A special term that we use is what we call the entity relationship modeling. So it's just a formal or common technique to show how each relation is related inside the actual database system. So we'll take a look on how we create this diagram based on the previous examples. So first of all, we have the movie table. Remember, the movie table, we have four attributes. And inside this kind of diagram, we try to use different shapes to represent the different aspects inside the relation. So for example, movie here is the table or the name of the relation. Movie ID, title, genre, and rating, they are all attributes refer to this relation. So we use different shapes to represent different aspects inside the database. So we have four attributes refer to the movie table. And if you go to the customer table again, we have four attributes. So the attributes, they are represented by the oval shape here, and the rectangular shape here represents the name of the relation. So in between here, we created the RANS relation that link the information of the customer and the information of the movie together. So in this case here, we have RANS linking the customer table and the movie table. And remember, we have two additional attributes that we add to the RANS relation, and those are date rendered as well as date due. And if you look at the information here, we have one here represent customer, and then we have M represent the link between RANS and movie. So those two characters here refer to, we have one customer that can rent multiple movies. In this case, M represents multiple. So here is just a general diagram to show the actual relationship between multiple relations and how they are linking within each other inside a database. So this is essentially what I would like to mention for chapter 12.3. Like I said, I think two of the key ideas in this particular topic is that you should know some of the basic terminologies. And as far as the database concerned, you should know what each of those operations does. And we do not expect that you know how to draw this kind of diagram, but you should know how each piece of information is related inside a database. So any questions about this topic? No? So I believe this topic is much easier than the logic gate circuits and the number systems, correct? So like I said, I will have a review class for test number two. So test number two is next Wednesday, and so I believe Friday will be just a pure review class for test number two. And so Wednesday, I will go back to the great menu, and I will try to start chapter 8. If you have any questions about chapter 7, let me know, and then I will try to spend some time on Wednesday to go through chapter 7 again. Yes? Test number 2 will consist of chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6, so only all the materials related to Microsoft Excel. Okay. Now for this test, I'm going to provide you all the functions in Excel that you have learned already. So I will give you a list of all the functions, so you don't need to memorize the functions, but you should know what each of those functions does. Okay. Again, so that test will be all multiple choice questions, and there will be no short answers for that test. Okay. You're talking about the great menu, right? Yeah, so usually for the great menu exercises, what I do is I give you the entire exercise or a few questions that refer to that particular question, okay? So it's pretty much similar to the exercise that you have done in the great menu, okay?